The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
We're going to talk about the future of television in Ireland. In studio, we have the head of journalism at DIT, Kate Shanahan. We have Willie O'Reilly, former chief executive here at Today FM, but also former commercial director of RT and columnist for the Sunday Business Post, amongst many other things. In our Cork studio at Republic of Works, we have Finola Doyle O'Neill, who's a broadcast historian with University College Cork. And our first guest by phone, Sunday Independent columnist, but former RT producer, now media consultant, John Masterson. John, tell us, please, about the story of the new smart television you've installed in your bedroom.
I see. I was quite surprised because I've been a television addict long since before I even worked in television. And I put in a new smart TV about a month ago. And it's upstairs. Downstairs, I've got, you know, regular TV, Sky, and et cetera, et cetera. And in order to get the smart TV working, all I had to do was turn it on and connect it up to the internet, which I did in the first 10 minutes and, you know, saw that I had Netflix and saw that I had YouTube. And the way it was wired, I had to put in a different aerial to work to get regular television. And that's a month ago, and I haven't bothered. I just watch Netflix and YouTube in that room. And I think increasingly...
And you're not a millennial, and you're not a Generation Z or anything like that.
I hate to say, John, you're an old fella.
I
have a few years more than you on the clock, Matt. But I just noticed, I mean, my habits are totally changed. I never watch the news now. I shouldn't say I never watch the news. That's an exaggeration. But the news was where you went to hear something for the first time, spoken authoritatively, and that you could rely on it, and et cetera, et cetera. Now, everything you hear on the news, you've already read hours before, and it has to be an entirely different program. But the notion of sitting down for half an hour and watching it is just a total waste of time to me and to many, many other people. Even with a general election, and I'd be an election nerd watching BBC News at the moment, after a while you just say, I do not want to see them doing yet another photo call in a hospital. This is just a waste of time. So you don't watch it until maybe news night. Oddly, while I find I'm watching television in a totally different way, and I talked to a bunch of people over the weekend, and I was quite surprised to discover a lot of them don't watch TV at all. They watch Netflix, they watch Now TV, so they have those two streaming services all the time. Young people have Sky Go on their laptops. They watch on the laptop. So the notion of, it reminded me of, do you remember an old telephone ad years ago when mobile phones came on and it was joining people, not places? Because the places where we made our telephone calls was in the cold of the hall, which was the only telephone that was in the house. And we were liberated from that and now we all have them in our pockets. It's now the same with television. We don't have to go to our place in the living room or in the kitchen to sit down at a particular time, same time every week, to watch while the rest of the country is doing exactly the same.
Okay.
It's changed.
Right. We asked RT and Virgin Media whether they'd like to contribute to this discussion. They declined. Willie O'Reilly, as former commercial director of RT, this is very interesting. This brings us to the nub of why we decided to have this conversation tonight. Because the changing face of television, if people are only watching Netflix and Amazon and in the future Disney and whatever, the streaming services, is there going to be any Irish television left for those who want to watch it?
Well, the first thing is we're going to have to decide that. John's is a fantastic story of an older man who suddenly discovered something new. My 81-year-old uncle is somewhat the same. But we shouldn't mix up anecdote with analysis, right? So all the analysis shows that many people are still consuming television. John is the avant-garde journalist. He's telling this with a great deal of bravado. Of course he is. Yes, John, you have three televisions in your house. But many people still sit down and watch television. Alan Cox, who heads the Core Media Agency, actually said to me that some of us in television who have associations with it need to be very careful because we're talking down something that is very important for advertisers. He's particularly interested in advertisers because they still see it as a primary place to advertise and build brands.
Okay, Kate Shanahan, what do you think though? Are we running the danger that as more and more people start consuming all of these great drama series on Netflix, they get into Amazon now, they have the Disney offer coming along to them, that they will actually just stop watching, apart from very few things, Irish television, but that undermines the entire business model for Irish television, and there won't be anything for there for them to watch in the future?
That's the problem. I mean, content costs an awful lot of money, and in particular, making original content and programmes costs a huge amount of money. Netflix has spent billions, and now they've got other rivals in the market. They're having problems around sustaining that market, because once you get big, somebody else wants to come in. There's two possible scenarios. One, the kind of really scary one, is it's called the big supermarket scenario. That's where you will have global producers of content, which people will watch whatever way they want to watch it. And then you might have some small regional producers of content who would be like the Kennel Club of America has its own TV station. So you won't have necessarily an Irish TV station. You'll have something that comes from Ireland that they buy in. So you have maybe content makers like independent producers. That's the worst case scenario. The best case scenario for places like RTE, BBC, Channel 4, everyone who's having a problem with the younger audience. So John Masterson is what's called a silver VOD. They're the next generation. The same way as older people are now colonising Facebook, older people are going to start colonising video on demand. So your problem is your younger audience isn't going there. They're dropping off. The audience in Ireland for TV is really strong. It's 3.5 hours per day for most of us.
For conventional television.
For conventional television. But where there's been a big change between 2016 and 2018 was the 15 to 24s, who went from consuming over 100 minutes to 70 minutes. So that was a dramatic drop, and that was taken up by TAM and various people in the advertising markets. One message of hope I would have, though, is that I was at the Guardian Media Conference, and the advertisers were actually the most positive about traditional media in broadcasting, because they said the rise of audio and in relation to podcasts with a younger audience, if you create the content, they will come. And trusted brands are becoming hugely important. Where you're going to have a problem, though, is things like news, because the market is atomizing. People are finding news. 30%, I think, of people all over Europe say they don't watch the news because it's depressing. But TV news was the main platform for getting your news. Now you have people getting their news through social, that younger audience in particular. They'll be sent a link. That has dangers for democracy. It has dangers in lots of different ways, because large WhatsApp group, if it's happened in other countries, can spread rumours very quickly, and those rumours can lead to dissension. And
can I just say that in another medium that I'm still associated with, radio, we did some
surveys.
Do we
have to talk about radio? I really want to talk about television.
Yeah, but
money.
This is key about trust, right? So we found, right, that 75% of people who listen to radio get their news online because they're on their device and it's coming at them whether they want it or not. They go to radio to validate it. And so that's important for those of us who work in television and radio to understand that the level of trust we have with the audience is not replicated in the digital sphere. We need to nurture that.
I wanted to go to Cork because I'm rejoined as well by Fionnuala Doyle O'Neill, who is a broadcast historian. And it strikes me, Fionnuala, have we had these arguments before in the past saying that we can't open up Irish broadcasting to foreign competition, such as RT has to be given a priority status, and we can't be having multi-channel, because if we let people watch BBC and the rest of it, we'll undermine RT's market. And this is just more of the same.
I personally think that there's a probably preemptive strike there by many of your guests about the demise of television. I would be a very firm supporter of well-balanced, well-resourced public service broadcasting, and I think it's very essential in a democratic society. And we mustn't lose sight of this, because it's been a very, very long fought battle that in the 1960s, if I just take my mantle of broadcast historian for a few moments, we almost sold our national television station to between the Canada, the Vatican, and only for a very, very sort of strong-minded young secretary to the Department of Post and Telegraphs at the time, Lon O'Brien. He insisted with Sean Lamass that we would absolutely hold on to our heritage, and we would have been very much open to the commercial enterprises of international television. So
sorry, Fionnuala, you said something very interesting there. A consortium would have bought RT from Canada and the Vatican, that
absolutely
we could have had sort of Vatican-controlled television.
Yes, in 1957, the Vatican had a very strong stake along with a Frenchman called Michelson, who had the imprimatur of the Vatican to buy the rights of Irish television for 10 years. Also, you had Roy Thomson in America was very interested, and you had Gwaelin. There was a whole host of very interested parties, and it really took the might and the mindset of someone like Lon O'Brien to insist that we needed to have our own almost national sovereignty when it came to a television station. So I think that we have to really look and change the question, that we need to resource something like RT much, much more. And we need to take a look, for example, at the absolutely overwhelming remit that it has in Section 114 of the Broadcasting Act 2009. It's an absolutely overwhelming economical almost charter where it's expected to do to almost maintain world peace as well as provide a whole host of things for the population. And it's your guest there is mindful of the fact that in radio many years ago Maurice Gorham had talked about the huge demands made on radio as well in its remit, and that it had to do everything from poultry making to Irish radio classes. So I think it's really important that we just take a moment to take a look at the fact that it's not coincidental that on the death of Gay Byrne, that this, that who is a most incredible broadcaster and who absolutely manifested the whole notion of public service broadcasting, that we're having this conversation. So in a few weeks' time, hopefully, the Broadcasting Amendment Bill will take place and they will start revisiting some of the very old-fashioned, almost archaic words of the 2009 Broadcasting Act. For example, RTÉ, under the Broadcasting Act, is required to offer websites, teletext and other non-linear services. So obviously that's a very outdated type of vision. So we need to get the government to give proper guidelines to RTÉ. We need the government to resource them. And we also need, which is really important, for them to take a look at the defamation laws as well. If you recall that in 2009, there was supposed to be a review of the defamation laws, which only began in 2016. And all this is very important to a well-resourced news service, which should be offered by a public service broadcaster.
The future of television in Ireland, first of all, it takes money. Where's the money coming from, Willie? Because I suppose it comes for RTÉ from the licence fee, and we have our rows about that. What about commercial income?
Commercial, it's in difficulty at the moment. I would say the commercial market for television in Ireland is worth about 200 million. So take it that RTÉ get about 100 million, Virgin get, say, 60, 65, and then the rest goes to the 40, and that's right, 40 television stations who have opt-out advertising here. People like Comedy Central, UK TV, Channel 4, they're hoovering up money here and putting nothing back into the economy. So that means for the domestic television providers, there's under 160 million. In the UK, it's 3.6 billion.
So we're a tiny market. We are a tiny market. A lot of television output.
And my last quick sentence is television is expensive. You know, any kind of a documentary on television on RTÉ is 60,000-70,000, you know, and that's just to get an average documentary. You can't do television cheap.
Okay, Kate Shanahan, does that suggest, though, that we should perhaps be doing less television, that RTÉ in particular needs to focus more on providing quality television that will be lapped up by the Irish audience instead of trying to do everything?
You've reached the nub, really, of the entire discussion, is if they decide to go for quality, you know, home content, concentrate on things like current affairs, comedy, you know, exposés, investigative journalism, that would appear to be exactly the kind of path that will sustain your audience for you. The problem is to get that portion of the license, to get the license fee in the first place, they have to show influence and they have to show reach. So to get that reach, they went down the populist route. I mean, if you look at the top 40 programmes for 2018, sport obviously is huge, the Late Late Toy Show. But then you start going down the list. At the very top, you have Room to Improve. Now, whatever you think about home improvement programmes, and there's loads of arguments about whether they're actually, you know, should be done by a public service broadcaster, that was within their top 10 slot. You went back down and you go into the sort of around the 39 to 40, those sort of areas, and you see The Young Offenders. The Young Offenders actually beat Pope Francis' visit to Ireland, which refers back to what Sunil was saying about the Vatican.
Of course, The Young Offenders is also a BBC production.
It's also a BBC production. So I would say what they're going to have to do, because it's happening all over Europe, it's happening in the States as well, is they're going to have to combine. So the broadcasters in Ireland who are producing Irish content are going to have to come to some sort of accommodation with each other to lobby the government to find out how they can best dispense some kind of broadcasting charge, what kind of programming they're going to make. They're going to have to become protective. They're going to have to look at the regulatory framework, not just here, but also in Europe, and see what they can stop. Because coming down the line is increased competition from people who have billions to spend.
Just before I go back to our contributors on the phone, Willie O'Reilly, the former Director General of RTÉ, Noel Curran, I think anticipated an awful lot of this, didn't he? He tried to get a discussion going about what was the public service remit and how it would be funded.
He did.
But it seems that people didn't want to engage with him at the time.
Well, Pat Rabbit, who was minister, did engage fully with him, and he and his department had a lot of discussions, and that's where the idea of a household charge came. But when Pat Rabbit went to the cabinet, and he's written about this, he found no support on the table. Fine Gael and RTÉ In the Venn diagram of life, there is no overlap. They don't like each other, and it's pretty hard to understand why. People say it goes back to the water charges. Pat Leahy in the Irish Times this week confirmed that in his contacts with Minister, there's no empathy, no sympathy coming back, which is a pity, because then what you see is a charade. You see the Minister say, I'm going to look at the licence fee collection. And then he says, when? 6 years. No sense of urgency.
Of course, Fionnuala Doyle O'Neill from University College Cork. This is not an industry or like many others, is it? Because it is regulated both by the Broadcasting Act. The private sector is regulated as well as the public sector broadcaster. So what needs to be done by politicians to change the playing pitch to take into account 21st century realities?
Well, first of all, they need to move as fast as possible and catapult the Broadcasting Amendment Bill, which 2019, which is at its third stage now. Still two more stages to go in the Dáil since October, and then four stages in the Seanad. So there's still a long road to go. And similarly with the defamation law, they need to move those forward very, very quickly in order that RTE and public service broadcasting and journalists get a proper vision as to what is expected of them. Secondly, one of your contributors there mentioned about the top programmes in the top 20, and I wouldn't be dismissive about the fact that the toy show and so forth, because these are all kind of cultural icons, even though Pan Collins once referred to it as the longest running commercial in the world, the toy show. But what is interesting about the fact is that all of the top 20 programmes in RTE are not in fact RTE programmes at all. They're all made by the independent companies. Shina Will does, for example, Dancing with the Stars and Home of the Year, and Coco does First Dates, Room to Improve, and you have Vision Independent does Operation Transformation. So these are all the popular programmes, and all of these are actually outsourced already. So I think that's interesting that 39.1 million was spent on independent productions, and which is part of the 40 million that's given to RTE in terms of its independent resource output. But what is more important, I think, really, is that we also look at the fact that RTE offers programmes such as, coverage of the European Parliament, the House of the Oireachtas, which other national stations will not do because there's no commercial viability in them. So, in a sense, what I'm saying is that they need to be well-resourced, but they also need to tap into the zeitgeist of the time. Now, if we were to go back again to 1960 and think about the fact that we talk about the Los Angelisation of Ireland and about how we've lost our culture, and that everybody, we know that 500,000 people in Ireland are tuned into Netflix and Amazon Plus, and I just heard the advert before your show there. That's all very well, but we must change the dial, so to speak, and do what they say in Latin is, we must mould our own cursus curiae. RTE and public service broadcasting need to look at a different way. They need to look at maybe a back catalogue. I did some of the commentary over the Gay Byrne funeral, and we got such a response from the diaspora, people in America, literally and all over the world, tuning into Gay Byrne's funeral. I don't think these people would be at all unhappy to become subscribers to an RTE back catalogue, and I think they should start looking at that in terms of making money, that there's different ways of making money.
William O'Reilly, as a former commercial director of RTE.
I'm sorry, the answer is no. There was a thing called the RTE. We ran the international player, which was a subscription service which offered lots of RTE programmes, and I'm afraid the take-up was minimal. The truth is we don't know a lot about the diaspora. We don't know what connects an Irish-American in Alabama with an Irish-American in Canada, and presuming they all have something in common, even their Irishness is false.
Okay, I want to bring John Masterson's back in again before we go to a break, because you have been waiting a while. Do you think, is there a requirement for RTE to dramatically downscale its offering to do things better with the more limited resources available to it?
Well, despite the fact that my broadcasting career was all with RTE, I don't equate RTE entirely with public service broadcasting, because the independent sector, which we're on now, and particularly radio, does an enormous amount of public service broadcasting.
And as does Virgin Media, which has as many hours of news and current affairs as RTE has.
So we need to get, Pat Rabbit was right, and the government has to face up to financing broadcasting properly, and that includes collecting the fee effectively. The current system is completely useless and broken and should be dumped straight away. Other European countries have managed to collect a broadcasting charge either via a utility bill or via the revenue, and they're able to do a great deal better. But then that must be shared with the independent broadcasters, because they are producing public service broadcasting and are required to, and in fact it's the only way they hold their audience. It works. If you look at a lot of RTE, I mean, Kate mentioned a lot of those middle ground programs, and while I accept that TV is not declining at massive rates. It is declining. The figures are only going in the one direction. There are a lot of things that RTE does that people are extremely loyal to that will not be replicated in other places. And they actually do come into that room to improve sector, the Nationwides of the world, the cookery shows of the world, the ear to the grounds of the world, which are very, very Irish, shot on single camera, and are getting right out there into the community. And they will never be in the top 10, but they never get forgotten. They're always in there getting audiences of 250, 325,000. Whereas the chat shows, there's nothing you can see in a chat show now that you won't have already seen on UK or American TV or whatever. All of us now open our WhatsApps from friends around the world and you get bits of TV that you can watch. Someone having a go at Donald Trump, someone having a go at something else. So we do consume it in that different way. The thing that I would be most concerned about is, despite the fact that I'm avant-garde, Willie, the young people, the genuinely young people younger than you and I, the under 30s, they are not watching TV in a way that it used to be a case that people didn't, and then they'd have a first child and suddenly families would start watching. Less and less of that is happening now. And some young people I know now who consume quite a lot of media don't even have a TV in their apartment. They've never bothered buying one.
We actually had an event almost in the house last night. We all ended up watching I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, which I can't remember the last time all the teenagers sat down with Aileen and myself to watch anything on TV. Okay, just to finish this discussion on the future of Irish television, Willie O'Reilly, what do you think are people going to be prepared to pay for?
Oh, that's going to be really difficult, Matt. When you think about the Irish household maybe 20 years ago, all they had to pay was the licence fee. Then suddenly Sky came along and said, well, pay for Sky, and got the footy, and the guy said, well, I'm paying for the licence fee, I'll pay for that. Suddenly Virgin Media Sports come along, right? Suddenly the UK BT come along. Suddenly Pixar are going to come along. Suddenly you've got... Sorry, did something go there?
No, it's okay.
Sorry, there was a lot of flashing lights there. So the amount of money that the household is spending on television and entertainment services has gone huge. And I think that's also the reason why there's a lot of pressure on the licence fee. I mean, I know you can pay your licence fee quarterly. Most people don't. Or you can pay it, I think, monthly. But the subscription services are really, really creaming it at the moment because it feels like it's less.
It's a very good point that you're making, because a lot of the stuff, the research that's done in relation to subscription charges, and it goes across everything, newspapers, the whole lot. People who really want trusted, valued news will only take one subscription, and they're the ones most interested in news. When a household budget has to be cut back, the TV, you know, anything you do, Netflix, it's equivalent to entertainment. So it's up against everything from going out for a meal to buying clothes. They're all lumped into that same budget. Mm-hmm. So the big problem is, if we're looking at a charge of any kind, we have to think of the longevity of it. Mm-hmm. How will it survive? Other countries have come up with stuff, you know, cultural examination of the importance of this to the culture and democracy of our country. So they give tax breaks. In Finland, you pay it as part of your tax. So it's a charge that businesses pay and households pay. In Ireland, there's been a huge resistance to paying for RTE, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of reasons for it. But also, there's a resistance in terms of media in general. And if you see that slide to whereby people are stopping paying for any form of media because everything is free, and that's a generational shift, then you're in serious trouble.
Fionnuala Dáin O'Neill, there's always been complaints from people about the cost of the TV licence, but is RTE now in a more difficult position in that people have real alternatives in the way that they may not have had to the same degree in the past?
Well, of course you will get all these bundles, Amazon Plus and Disney just come in the market offering it for a very low rate, €5 I think a month,
initially,
for the first few months. So yes, but I think the Broadcasting Amendment Bill, part of of its process will be to take a look at how we do raise resources for the broadcasting charge. And there is a certain amount of cynicism, as somebody mentioned there, the water charges, that people kind of equate this type of household charge with yet another sort of undercover tax. But I think, you know, the recent establishment survey by the by TAM in October showed us that 95% of people, apart from your guest there, John, of people over 45 still watch linear television, still watch television in its normal form, and only 1% of that age group actually watch it on other forms. So it's so well-resourced, well-balanced, good content of television will still be very favourable to people over 45, I think. And I think what's really important is that people will pay a subscription if they get good quality programming. And to date, we've been very, very fortunate. Perhaps we could learn something from Channel 4, which has completely, I suppose, managed to sort of find itself a tranche of the audience. They've done everything from The Circle to the Great British Bake Off. They've identified various sectors of subscribers that they want to feed into their particular programming, and they've such a myriad then of audience, target audience, which I think is very, very interesting.
Okay, but they have a much bigger audience to appeal to, and as Willie said earlier, 3.6 billion of advertising revenue to tap into as well.
Absolutely, but they also used to take some Irish programming back in the 80s and 90s, so I think there's still a survey to be done there about the Irish
diaspora. They're not well disposed towards Ireland, I can tell you, because we actually asked them to desist taking Irish advertising, and they wrote back to us in RT and told us where to go.
John Masterson, you've had less time, so I'm going to give you the last word.
Well, I think, you know, to say people will pay for good quality broadcasting just isn't true. 80% of people maybe will, but there's always those people who evade. They don't evade Sky because you get cut off. They don't evade Amazon because they get cut off. They don't. They pay their ESP bill because you get cut off. They pay their internet because you get cut off. Until we have a situation where there is a broadcast charge which is funded either via a utility bill or via the revenue who don't take prisoners, we will not have a properly funded public broadcasting service. And if we don't, we will have a short-term gain for some people who don't pay their couple of hundred or 160 euros and a huge long-term loss for democracy that I need to think we really need to take seriously.
Merrion Street won't collect the tax. They don't want to. They believe the fine art of taxation is taking the feathers off the goose without the goose knowing.
Well, Leo Riley,
and they think they'll get upset.
You were here long enough to know that I'm supposed to be at an ad break now, and you have deliberately spoken over the time before I have to go to an ad break. Thank you very much, Fionnuala Doyle O'Neill, Kate Shanahan, John Masterson and Willie O'Reilly. It's interesting as well, though, sometimes perhaps the impact of new media can be exaggerated. Willie writes for the Sunday Business Post, as I do, and yesterday the paper had a really interesting story about Joe.ie, the publisher Maximum Media, about inflated figures for its content, and Ireland's largest media agency, Core, has suspended its contracts with it, which was a very important media story. Perhaps the opponents, or perhaps the competition to television, is not quite as strong as some would say.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.